Today's episode of the podcast is sponsored by Mr. Carl Alajajian.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. This is Der Narek along with our co-host Mr. Veh Bazdikyan with a new episode of the podcast. Let's start our show and our day with a prayer from the prayers of the Armenian Church.
Հայր երկնավոր, ճշմարիտ Աստված, որ քո սիրելի որդիդ ղրգեցիր, մոլորյալ ոչխարը փնդրելու համար, մեղանչեցի երկինքի թեմ, քո արչևդ, ընդունեզիս իբրև անարակ որդին, և հակցուր ինձի առաջին բադմուջանը, զոր վրայես հանեցի մեղքերովս, և ողորմե քո արարածներուդ, և ինձի պազմամեղիս. Heavenly Father, true God, who sent your beloved Son in search of the sheep that had gone astray, I have sinned against heaven and before you. Receive me as the prodigal son and clothe me with the original garment of which I was divested by sin. Have mercy upon your creatures and upon me, great sinner that I am. It was a very busy weekend here at St. Sarkis Armenian Apostolic Church, and it culminated in a Sunday full of remembrance and also some reflection. Der Narek, you want to tell us about the weekend a bit?
Absolutely. It was a great weekend that we had here. I think my weekend started on Friday night when we had a meeting with our youth club members. And this week we decided to go and just have a little biblical discussion with the participants. The topic which I chose for today was the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector.
Why'd you choose that?
Because I thought there's a lot that we can discuss about it. And also I think it's a beginner's kind of parable for studying. It's not as heavy as some other parables would be. It has to do with our life of prayer. So I felt that it's a nice introduction for that setting, and it worked very well. So we had a set of questions after giving a brief explanation to the participants. So it wasn't a Bible study the way that we normally do it. It was a little different. It was more thought-provoking questions that the participants had to deal with, and I think it worked very well. We had over 24 participants, and everybody enjoyed their time. Like one of the questions that was in that list is the following: what experience was especially humbling for you recently? And when I posed this question, now the question is related to the parable because the tax collector was humbling himself. He was, not able to look up. He was beating his chest, unlike the Pharisee who was
very proud and boastful.
That's right. So I took that humbling moment that the tax collector was having in his prayer, and I asked the question, what was a humbling experience for you recently? Initially, the participants were looking at me, trying to know, what are we talking about here? Humbling? No, we are all invincible. the macho attitude, especially coming from the side of the boys. Right. And I shared a humbling experience that I recently had. And that was an aha moment. They felt kind of inspired and they started sharing. That was such a binding moment for the members because they started to open up and tell about their little insecurities, their vulnerabilities, accept the fact that, being humble is really a good thing. So I think it was one of the best discussions that I recently had with our youth club members. I'm happy and I'm proud that our youth club is growing, not only with numbers, but also in depth and in spirituality.
Right. I recall when we've talked about the youth club before, you would express some limited frustration over the fact that most of the activities are geared more towards the social aspects and actually having the youth connect with each other, which is very important, obviously. But it seems as though you've gotten to a new level with them to have that the opportunity to discuss and to really flesh out topics and allow them to express themselves in a way that it relates back to their lives. So that's very impressive. I look back to my youth, and I don't think I would be mature. I would have been mature enough to be able to discuss openly and share some of my, whether they be insecurities or concerns or things that would lead me to humility.
It's not an easy thing, you know, to sit down and accept your vulnerabilities, but the participants took a chance and it worked perfectly for everyone. And as I said, you know, that adds to the level of the friendship that it's present. You know, when you play a game, yes, you can create a friendship, but when you share your intimate feelings with a group of mm-hmm. your friends, then that's totally different. And speaking about my frustration, yes, initially we thought that it was going to the social direction, but you know, at the end of the day, it has a lot to do on what we provide. If we give them the right direction, I think our members are willing to be actively participating in this kind of discussions, which really I'm very happy for.
So on Saturday, you took a break there, Nadig, from the church events and attended the Hamaskein musical performance.
Yes, I did.
In New Jersey with Surpazan Onshavan. I understand you often get invited to these types of cultural events, and you agreed to attend and had a front row seat, front and center. How did you enjoy it?
Well, Hamaskein was very gracious to invite us, and they gave us the best seat in the house. We were sitting in the front row. It was a good event. I like concerts. But what I like about concerts is the live aspect of the concert, you know. This concert was live, but the music was pre-recorded. So for me, that is not a very fun concert. I understand bringing a band from Hayastan is not an easy thing nowadays. It costs a lot of money, but maybe there are some local talents here who can play the music, you know. So it wouldn't sound much like studio kind of production. It would sound more lively.
It sounds a little bit like karaoke. Did it have that effect?
It felt that way.
That's unfortunate.
The good thing about the concert was that they had various dance groups, the young children's choir, and they were terrific, especially those young singers. You know, they were singing, they were loud, they were proud to be on the stage and being part of this great performance. So it was overall a good experience, and I'm happy that I was there. This Sunday, we observed the 20th anniversary of the passing of Suzan Hagopian, one of the greatest benefactors of our church, and Anushavan Serpazan, the Vicar General of the Armenian Prelacy, celebrated the Divine Liturgy. He expressed his wish to celebrate the Divine Liturgy because, as we spoke last week, he is one of the few people who knew Suzan Hagopian very well, and he delivered the sermon. And following church services, we had a special banquet in honor and in memory of Suzan Hagopian, which was very well attended. We had a little program, we had some remarks, and our Saturday school students were terrific. They performed a few songs, they had some poems to recite. And today, when I was doing Bible study with our senior members of the community, some of them mentioned that when they heard our children, our students singing, it was an emotional moment for almost everyone in the crowd. And Oshagan Sirpazan, our beloved prelate, in his remarks also said, they brought tears to my eyes. You know, it wasn't that great performance, but the fact that they're together, they're singing.
What I was impressed by was the fact that they've only had a couple of months to prepare for this. They only started Saturday school in September, and they're already prepared for a performance in October with a series of poems and songs. Right, Dernarik, why don't we play a clip from one of those performances on Sunday?
So during the event on Sunday, there were some remarks and speeches, and one of the speeches that I truly appreciated was the one that was done by Mrs. Anet Jevelekian, who presented the perspective of a graduate of Saturday school and also a mother who is sending her children to our Saturday school, similar to what we had last week with Michael's comments. Anet was very elaborate, and she spoke about some vivid memories that she had as a student here. And when she spoke about her children coming here, there was this sense of continuation of a tradition that, you know, we might not know about. We might not try to implement any sort of traditions purposely, but there's this spirit that carries on, and it's present throughout the generations. And that is one of the greatest comments that I've heard.
I think because we typically, as human beings, human nature is to focus on the moment. But when you look at it historically and you reflect upon the life of someone like Suzan Hogopian, who dedicated so much to getting the school off the ground, then you start to look at the overall impact. You can see, and it becomes very tangible over time, when generations of youth are attending and learning the Armenian language and learning about the Armenian church. And this then continues into future generations. So when you look at a snapshot at that moment, you are impressed with the quality of the kids. Then you look back and say, well, all of these kids are the byproduct of other kids who went through the school. So that's very meaningful. So we look forward to additional progress in that sense.
Absolutely. And, you know, If I'm lucky to be around, I would love to see one day our students growing up and becoming parents and sending their children.
Absolutely.
So that continuation, you know, we'll experience what it feels like to see the children of the current students attending.
Especially here in the United States, with the pressures, our community, both our domestic community pressures, and the fact that we live in, I hate the term, odar. But this is, we live in an odd world where it becomes very challenging for us to uphold and maintain our culture, to speak our language. It really requires a great deal of effort. And the little bit that we can do through sending our kids to Saturday school and encouraging them to speak Armenian at home and learning the poems and the music, I think that really has an impact. It had an impact on me, so I can speak to that from having had that perspective.
And you as a parent are invested in the...
Absolutely. I'm so proud when my daughters are up there. And of course, we're all moved by it. And especially when you see your kids singing and following in the footsteps in Armenian education, it makes you very proud.
I think overall, the 20th anniversary commemoration went very well due to the efforts of everyone who was behind organizing and making sure that it was really an event where we were able to pay the utmost respect to the life and legacy of Suzan Hagopian.
Push the door, I'm home at last, and I'm soaking through and through. And then you handed me a towel, and all I see is you. And even if my house falls down now, I wouldn't. You're near me. And I want to thank you.
So after the program, Der Nadeg, after a long day of commemoration and remembrance, we continued with our monthly young adult or young family Bible study program. We had a smaller group. It was a little more intimate session. But I think everyone came away this Sunday with a very positive impression of the experience.
I wasn't expecting a large group for this Sunday because we had a long day. We had a lot of parishioners or members of that group who were with us in the morning for Badarak and then for the commemoration. And the number was, you know, smaller. We had 10 or 11 participants. And for that reason, I wanted to change the format so that it fits that small group. What did you think about the format there?
The format was great. Typically, for the benefit of our listeners, we would spend a lot of time analyzing whether it's a full book of the Bible or sections that we can develop topically. And it's more of a historical reflection where we learn about the context in which things occurred in the Bible. This time, we tried to apply what we were learning and what the lesson, the message was from the Bible and applying it to our lives today. And that really generated a very robust discussion because people opened up about their experiences, their struggles with spirituality, their struggles with making the appropriate connections with God on a daily basis. And I think we all share it. I mean, I don't think this is anything odd for our listeners either, that with all of our life's distractions, it becomes very difficult for us to give God our appropriate attention.
It was the parable of the sower that we read and we reflected upon briefly, but we had some questions that, you know, helped us to be more introspective, to look inside and to kind of try to evaluate or assess our spiritual life, our spiritual growth. How are we doing? And people were very genuine. They opened up and they shared. I thought it was one of the greatest Bible study sessions that we've had for a long time.
Yeah, this is similar to the format we used to have when we had a much smaller group. It was much more intimate. And we had a very comfortable dialogue going on a weekly basis. And now it's a little less familiar to us because we haven't done it in so long, but I think everyone enjoyed it. Of course, the fact that we had less people lent itself to us maintaining that format. We'll see how it goes when we have more people come out. Especially now that we're promoting it, hopefully we'll get additional parishioners to come out for the Bible study.
That's the hope, but it felt good to kind of revisit our good old habits and do some of the things that were successful in the past.
There's not a little bit of levity today. We're always talking about serious topics, or most of the time anyway. Do you know who Conan O'Brien is?
Of course I do. The redhead guy.
Right.
The comedian. You know, he's one of the comedians that I used to enjoy watching when I was young, back in the day before me becoming a priest. That was something that I would watch every night. And then right after that, I would give Ani a call, who was in Lebanon still. So with Conan, I have great memories.
Oh, that's great.
Comedy, and then a little conversation with my girlfriend, and then saying goodnight.
So you know him well.
Why do you ask about Conan?
Well, for the benefit of our listeners and for you as well, I mentioned it briefly earlier, but Conan was in Armenia.
He took some photos on Facebook, yes.
He took a trip with his assistant, along with his crew, and they filmed an episode of Conan in Armenia. And it will be aired on November 14th on TBS at 11 p.m. In addition to filming the show, he got to experience Armenian culture, food. He danced. He went to Garni and Gerart, and he spoke about it extensively. So it's another example of Armenians in Armenia being in pop culture, which is exciting.
It looks like a lot of celebrities visited Armenia this year. And I was so proud that one of my favorite bands, System of a Down, was there. And now with Conan O'Brien, that makes me even feel prouder. And
were you not proud when Kim Kardashian was there?
Who's she? I feel so embarrassed that Conan O'Brien went to Armenia and I haven't been there. So my plans, God willing, for next year is to go to Hayastan.
That would be great.
Along with my family. But are you going to play a segment from Conan's show?
Yes. And just to mention, he filmed a show in Armenia. It's called Arm Comedy, which is an Armenian talk show. And there's a segment from the show that we'd like to play for our listeners.
And so our guest tonight is Conan O'Brien. Conan, welcome to Arm Comedy. And I mean, this is unbelievable. Yeah. I
know, we couldn't be more inspired or excited or
that's
about
so nice
faint.
Of you. Thank
and,
you.
And
thank
when
you.
I say this is unbelievable, I mean, like, literally, can we see an ID or something?
We want to do a little test to see what you've learned here in Armenia and how Armenian are you now that you've visited Yerevan and been to Garni Gevart.
I know this country very well, and I consider myself now an expert on all things Armenian.
Mm-hmm. Can you pronounce Garni Gevart?
Garni Gevart.
Nice. Okay, I never thought I would hear Conan O'Brien pronouncing Garni Gevart. This is the most surreal thing I've heard in like...
But then we saw him wearing that Yerevan shirt a couple of years ago.
Yeah, yes. My assistant Sona gave me that shirt and I put it on and I immediately was filled with the spirit of Yerevan.
Nice. Okay. So let's get to the test.
Oh. So you see floor. What way would you prefer it? With carpet or without?
Carpet.
Check.
Taco or shawarma?
Shawarma.
Check.
You're speeding by another car. Mm-hmm. You're getting ahead of that car. And as you come close, which look do you give to the driver of the other car? Do you go with a smile or with the look?
No smile. Never smile.
The look.
Never right. smile. The look. Everyone here looks so angry.
Yes.
Yeah.
The women here are beautiful. Beautiful. The men are all... They're angry. What are they mad about? Are they really mad?
A perfect lead to the next question. Are you ever fully content with your life?
No.
Yes or no?
He's our guy. That's
I'm your guy.
Yeah.
So here's a release form. If you sign it, we get the right to say that you are of Armenian origin.
I, Conan O'Brien, here in Conan O'Brien, give Arm Comedy my permission to start a rumor that I have Armenian roots. I'm down with this.
All right.
Yeah. Yes.
Veh, can we talk a little bit about some of the feedback that we've been getting from the survey that we have on the podcast?
If you wish.
I would like to discuss some of the things that our listeners submitted to our attention. I think everybody likes you, Veh. They like the fact that you're with us.
Stop.
And
stop. There are like two people that have not mentioned me in the surveys, and you're going to say everybody likes me. Come on.
I think I'm finding my way to retire.
Let's be honest.
But seriously, they like the fact that it's a dialogue versus a lecture, and the fact that we try to keep it, you know, lively. One comment that is prevailing is about the length of our episodes.
Right.
You know, we have so many suggestions that we need to keep it short, keep it between 20 to 30 minutes. And I think most of our episodes are somewhere in there. 30 to 45, but sometimes we go over.
Sometimes to 60.
Yeah.
And I've heard that comment from several people, especially, you know, when you're in a younger professional environment, you don't have the time to spend to be able to listen start to finish. Of course, my response then would say, well, listen to part of it. Or listen to part of it in the morning, listen to the remainder when you have an opening in the rest of your day. But our older generation, the folks that may be winding down with their careers or potentially in retirement, we have many comments from them here saying it's not long enough.
Keep going.
So, you know, there's the old expression that says you can please some of the people some of the time and you can't please all of the people all the time. So I think it's going to have something for everybody here.
Well, today's episode is going to be short, but you have the whole week to try to listen if, you know, this is something interesting. That being said, I know I follow some podcasts and I don't get to listen to the whole thing, and that's life. What other comments do you find interesting that you want to reflect on?
One thing that kind of struck me, and it's something that I've heard in person from folks, is that we need to have more interviews with the younger generation, discussions about family issues. Some folks really liked the interview with Dr. Satine discussing family
adjustment to returning to school. Those types of topics tend to resonate with people. And also, a little bit of a focus on some of our successful Armenians, our young adults from within the community, to be profiled, to be interviewed, to talk about their professional lives and their Armenian community lives. So I think those are a couple comments that kind of struck me as helpful.
I think, you know, the profile of our production has evolved. In the beginning, it was really spiritual. We used to tend on focusing on the spiritual stuff, but we changed. And last year, you know, for the commemoration of the Armenian genocide, we focused a lot on topics that had to do with the genocide. But I like the idea of inviting successful young professionals and sharing their stories with our listeners. And probably we can do like an episode a month where people will come and they will share their stories with our listeners.
That sounds great. And that is not at the expense also of the spiritual aspect. Some of our podcasts are going to be a little more spiritual and involved and in-depth, especially as we focus on topics that are related to the Bible reflection. So it's not as though we're going to cut corners in other areas. I think there's always going to be something for folks to take away. And just to keep things fresh, it may be helpful to get into other areas that aren't necessarily specific or unique to the Armenian church experience, but maybe draw in from other aspects of our lives.
Can I make a suggestion? I would like to suggest to our listeners, if you want to be interviewed and you have a good story to share with us, you're more than welcome to send us an email, you know, or if you have somebody special in your mind that you would want them to be a guest on our program, we're open. Send us an email.
That's a great idea. I think most of us, our nature is to not raise your hand for that type of an opportunity and not to promote yourself. But obviously, we have loved ones. We have people who respect and admire some of the work that we do in our professional lives or through our philanthropic work. So we would encourage everyone to consider that in the way that Der Narek just laid it out.
We've got also some peculiar comments. Here's one that says, I think the Armenian church with a podcast has finally joined the 21st century.
That's not peculiar. That's quite accurate.
Well, there are so many TV productions and other shows about the Armenian church, you know, being present in the media, but ours is kind of different. So,
yes.
Another comment is that has nothing to do with the podcast, says, shorten the Badarak.
Okay.
Shorten the celebration of divine liturgy.
And you have that kind of influence, I think. You should be calling back to the Vahapar at your earliest convenience there, Narek.
Absolutely. The good thing is I'm just a Derhar and nobody hears my opinion. So to respond to the comment of, you know, the person who's concerned, you know, cares about the church, is try to come like 45 minutes to the Badarak. If you cannot make it for the 2 hours and plus, just be here for 30 minutes. It's better than not being present at all. Do not let the length of our service intimidate you.
Der Narek, do you think sometimes, not to get into a protracted discussion about this, but is that an excuse perhaps people offer to say, well, I can't make it to church because the service is just way too long? Because I could speak from my life. With our two young children, my wife Arpi and I often struggle to get here, and my goal is to make it before the sermon. What are your thoughts?
I don't want to blame the parishioners. You know, sometimes there's the apathy, but sometimes we, the clergy, the pastors, we are to blame. You know, it's like when you sit down and watch the news on TV, like, and all you hear is depressing stuff, and when the host tells you, tune back tomorrow night, I would ask myself, for what? To listen to more depressing stuff? You know, if that's the church experience for some, to come here and not to get anything, then naturally they would not want to come back again. So that's why I personally try to improve the quality of the message. And with the hope that when somebody comes to this church, they will get something out of the sermon, out of the spiritual experience. You know, we have a great choir, and singing is really something that connects us with our Creator. So I would say the worship with the singing part and the sermon, you know, we're trying to work very hard to improve these two elements. And if you haven't been to church lately, just give it a try. Come back. If you're too busy to give it a try, just listen to one of the sermons that we've been posting, you know, and see if it's working for you. And you can always tell us, what is it that you want? You know, where are we failing to attract you? Because at the end of the day, this is your home. This is your spiritual house. And if this spiritual house is not serving your needs, then let us know.
If you would indulge me there, Narek, I'd like to ask Greg Dostur, our producer, a question that I think would address one of the issues that were raised in the survey, which was, how can we make the podcast more interactive? Is there ways that we can field questions from the audience that then we can flesh out and discuss here during the podcast when we're on the air? So I'd like to turn it over to Greg to give us a rundown on how you can do that with your iPad or iPhone or on your Android device.
Yeah, I'm really glad you guys brought this up. So I think entertaining some questions from our audience members would be fantastic. So there's a voice memo app on the iPhone, the iOS devices, and there's also the voice recorder app on the Android. So feel free to just record a few questions and email it over to fr.nodegg@gmail.com. If you feel comfortable enough, we'd love to play it on air and we'd love to answer these questions for you.
For those who haven't taken the survey, we encourage you to make your voice and your opinions heard. Get online, fill that survey. It's 5 or 6 questions. And if you write something interesting, we will comment on it in our future episodes. Let's do the Bible reading and reflection now. This is something that we do every week here on the podcast. Today's reading is from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 15, verses 18 through 25.
I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. If the world hates you, be aware that it hated me before it hated you. If you belong to the world would love you as its own. Because you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. Therefore, the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, servants are not greater than their master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But they will do all these things to you on account of my name, because they do not know who sent me. If I had come and spoken to them, they would not have sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. Whoever hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no one else did, they would not have sin. But now they have seen and hated both me and my Father. It was to fulfill the word that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause.
The word of God. This is the continuation of what we read last week, and we had more participants in the discussion, Anusha Van Serpazan and Deacon Michael. But the message last week was about love. Jesus commanded his disciples to love one another. And when you hear that sort of message, you would think that love is a sentiment that naturally would be reciprocated by others. But we come here to see that Jesus is telling the reality to the disciples that when you love, do not expect that the world will love you. The world will hate you. And the reason for that hatred is not because of who you are, but because of whom you believe in. There's a lot to discuss today in what we read.
It seems to me that this is a flip side of the discussion from last week. So everything was focused on all the positives and everything great that comes of the love that we have, that God has for us, and the love that we have for one another, and keeping God happy by showing that love and expressing that love in many ways. But in this reading, it's the flip side in that
people will hate you for expressing that, for being and following those commandments. So it's interesting when he talks about servants not being greater than their master. In the former context, he talked about the servants are there to support God's mission. And when you do support God's mission, you will be persecuted, which is very clear to me that it is not easy to be a Christian. It is not necessarily an easy prescription for life.
As our listeners remember, last week we read the words of Jesus where he called his disciples as his friends. But today he reminds them that, although I'm your friend, but never forget that I am the master. And if me, the master, was not only persecuted, but also was put to die on the cross, then you shouldn't see your destiny away from that. You know, this is something that it's reminded to us every time that we observe the Requiem service in our church, where Jesus says, "Where I am, there my servant also will be." You know, and when we look to the reality, we see that Jesus was on the cross. And the followers of Jesus should not rule out the possibility of carrying the cross and following Jesus. But there's something very pastoral here in what we read, and I would like to reflect on that, where Jesus reminds that you do not belong to this world. Mm-hmm. You know, when we follow along the thinking of the culture, maybe the same was true back in the day, and it's obviously very true today, we see that they teach us to love the ones who love us, to respect the ones who respect us, and to hate the ones who hate us. But Jesus challenges that perspective. He says that the world will hate you, but that should not be a reason for your love to grow any less. And I think that is the real challenge, to be able to love when you're surrounded with all kinds of negativity and hatred in your life.
Absolutely. The one thing that jumps off the page at me is when in verse 23, whoever hates me hates my Father also. That's very powerful, because it just demonstrates how short-sighted it would be for someone to not accept Christ as our Savior, because by not doing so, we have shown that we do not respect the Father. So Jesus is very clear about, don't, if you choose to not follow me,
that's your choice. That is your choice. And he makes that very clear in verse 22, where he says, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. The message is very clear. We know what God wants from us. But when we choose not to follow that path, then obviously we are making a choice.
If I could ask a question, Der Nuttig, and it may not be specific to this passage, but it's mentioned, and I'd like to flesh it out a little further. There's often a theme throughout the Bible that this is not God's world, that there is going to be hate from this world because God is of a different world. Is that a fair interpretation? And if this is not God's world, then where are we living? And I don't mean to get too deep and too philosophical on this topic, but it sort of piqued my curiosity.
I think you're asking a question that is worth to explore for a good hour, but I will try to be very brief. And we need to remember the fact that this is not the kingdom. You know, the way that it was designed initially, we would have direct access to be with God. And the book of Genesis tries to explain to us that something happened, you know, and because of disobedience, we have lost that. So sin entered this world. Initially, there was no place for sin in this world. But now that there is sin, there are also consequences of sin. For that reason, we pray in our Lord's Prayer, let your kingdom come. We want this place, we want this earth to be the place where God lives. And that is something that needs to start in our hearts. It needs to start in our households, in our little communities, so that the kingdom of God will be present. And, you know, we can go and speak theologically, exploring the theology of end times, but I don't really like to focus on that, because for me, my faith and Christianity is here and now. And what do you do with your daily choices in your household and your community? Therefore, the prayer that we say, let your kingdom come, it's not a wish, but actually it's, we're taking upon ourselves to realize the presence of God in our midst, in our families, and in our lives. The hymn today is called Donemk. This is performed by Bishop Anushavan Zhamgochyan from Hayastan. This is a hymn that we sing during the celebration of the Divine Liturgy of our church. I hope you will enjoy listening to this hymn. We'll be back next week with a new episode of the podcast. In the meantime, I'd like to thank all of our listeners, my co-host, Mr. Veh, our producer, Mr. Greg, our sponsors, and I pray that the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ will always be in your hearts. Amen.
Today's episode of the podcast was brought to you by Mr. Carl Alajajian. If you would like to sponsor a future episode of the podcast, please contact the church office at 718-224-2275.